So the World Cup is here. How many of you are avid fans? How many of you don't care?
I don't.
I'll tell you one thing I noticed, though. That's a big field out there. Big field out there. And I don't care how good a soccer player you are, whether you're Pele, Ronaldo, Messi. If you're out there alone, you're not going to win that game. It's a big field. You need a team. And as we close Colossians, I want to share the idea that it's teamwork that makes the dream work when it comes to God's ministry. That phrase is not original to me, but I think I know it's biblical. I think about teamwork, and I think about the 1960 Olympics. I was not around to witness that. I don't know if anybody remembers witnessing that. Anybody want to testify seeing the 1960 Olympics? Nobody's raising their hand. There was a discus toss, and the Americans had two really good candidates. Al Order was there. He was defending his gold medal. And we had another guy on the U.S. team, a guy named Rink Bobka. And Bobka, he won the first four rounds. He threw it further the first four rounds. There was one round to go. They came out in the fifth round, and Al Order surpassed him. He threw it further. But that was not the whole story. What many didn't realize initially is that between the fourth and fifth rounds, Bobka, the one who was in the lead, grabbed Order and said, "Hey, I noticed something about your throw. There's a flaw. If you just make this little tweak, it'll go further." And it did, and Order got the gold. And I think about Bobka there. What a teammate, right? He realized it was bigger than him. He was part of a team. He was part of Team USA. What a friend. We're going to talk about friendship and teamwork today in Colossians chapter 4. These days, people talk about their day one. Anybody know that phrase or use it? You know what a day one is?
It's Monday.
It's that person who's been a friend of mine since early on, since the beginning or early on in my life. They're loyal, they're faithful, and throughout the Bible, you see God's people serving Him in friendships. Just think about it. Moses and his brother Aaron. Moses didn't go alone to Egypt. He had Aaron. Think about the in-laws, Naomi and Ruth. Right? Think about David and Jonathan. David and Jonathan. Then you get to the New Testament. How did Jesus send his disciples out? Singles? No. Two by two. Remember that? And then you get to early Acts and you see how many times Peter and John are out there traveling together. Or later in Acts, a married couple, friends in ministry, Priscilla and Aquila. You see New Testament pictures of the church as a body of whom we are all a part. We're a temple made of living stones together. And it all screams, you're part of something bigger than you when you're part of the church. Not to mention, different people count differently, but there are at least 59 one another commands. 59 in the New Testament. If you go to Bible Gateway, put in one another, just look at them all. And you know one of the most foundational ones, love one another, John 13:34. That's at least 16 times. Love one another. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Why do we do this? Because we are members of one another. Romans 12:5. And I'm going to tell you something about the one another's. You can't do that by yourself. You can't do the one another's by yourself unless you got issues. You can't do the one another's by yourself. You're part of a family, a fellowship. And I think about the Apostle Paul. A lot of people look at him as the apostle, maybe your favorite apostle. I don't know if you have favorites, but some people wrongly paint him out to be some kind of lone ranger out there doing it on his own. But you know what's interesting? When you read through the New Testament, over 100 associates and friends in ministry of Paul are listed. Over 100. And often they're in the last parts of his letters that some of us like to skip and get to the next letter. We're in one of those sections today, and I don't want to skip it. I want to get to know some of these people, some of these friends of Paul in ministry. And I want to encourage you, if you're a believer, as we go through these friends in ministry, to ask yourself a couple questions. Take them before the Lord. Am I a team player? Am I a team player in the church? What kind of friend am I in the church? Because Ralph Waldo Emerson had it right when he said, the only way to have a friend is to be one. Only way to have a friend is to be one. What kind of friend am I? And then as we look at these different characters, who of them do I relate to the most? Because they all have different gifts. They all bring something different to the table. Who am I most like among this list of friends? And then we're going to also explore how these guys lived out some of the one another commands in the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to break these friends of Paul into different groups. Okay, first we're going to talk about a couple encouraging messengers. And we're going to see in this chapter, Paul tags, if this is a Facebook post today, at least 9 or 10 different people. The first two we're going to call encouraging messengers. Tychicus. Tychicus. Some of these names, I think, is why when I put out the passage to read this week, there was a long pause. We get to some of these names and we're like, I don't want to be up there trying to read that name. Tychicus. Let me tell you about Tychicus. Verse 7, Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your heart. So Tychicus is with Paul, house arrest in Rome, but he's going to give this letter to the Colossians, to Tychicus, and say, take it. Let him know how we are. Encourage the Colossians. And for each of these guys, I'm going to give you a quick 3-point resume. You could spend a whole sermon on each of these guys. We can't do that today. But I want to tell you a little bit more about Tychicus from the Bible. I don't know if you can see that. Hopefully you can. If you were to write a resume, you would also know that he was the Asian messenger of love offering to Jerusalem. All these churches took those financial gifts to Jerusalem. He was later Paul's messenger to Ephesus. Actually, twice, once later and once when he took this message to Colossae, he also went to Ephesus. And then he was one of Paul's potential messengers to Titus and Crete. At the end of the letter of Titus, he says, I may send you a message through this guy, or I may send you a message through Tychicus. So he often sent Tychicus out to deliver his messages. What does that tell us about Tychicus? What's that? Yes. Yes, one man put it this way, of all the abilities in the world, the greatest is perhaps dependability. Just showing up and letting your yes be yes and following through. He was dependable as a messenger. Are we dependable when God leads us into a work? But he didn't go alone. He went through with a guy named Onesimus. It says, and with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. He's from Colossae. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. What do we know about Onesimus? And we're going to go into this more next week. He was a slave in Colossae. He had a master named Philemon in the Colossian church. He runs away to Rome, meets Paul. He's saved by Jesus. And then he's sent back by Paul with a revolutionary request. I'm not going to spoil it. We're going to talk about it next week. But he says, go back to your master. So Tychicus has this letter to the Colossians, but Onesimus has this letter to take back for his master Philemon. But I think about these two guys. They went to encourage the church at Colossae because they were in a battle, and to update them. What one another's are they using their mouths for? 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Encourage one another. You using your mouth to encourage others? Build up one another. Romans 14, verse 19. Much better use of our mouths than the alternatives, because some of the one another's are do nots. You know what some of the do nots are here? Do not slander one another. James 4, verse 11. How about don't grumble against each other? James 5, 9. Anybody been grumbling against another believer this week? Be careful. Galatians 5, 15 says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. How much better of a use of our tongues to encourage each other? This is a world that needs encouragement. There's plenty of discouragement out there. Don't let them find it in here. Please. I want to talk to you about faithful comforters. A guy named Aristarchus. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Now, this guy had been through it with Paul. You got some friends that have been through some stuff with you, and they're still there? That's Aristarchus. Let me tell you a couple of things he went through on his resume. He was from Macedonia, but he was dragged into the riot in Ephesus. You remember when the silversmiths were mad at Paul? Because we're not getting sales anymore and the city started a riot. They dragged Aristarchus in there. But he stayed with Paul. He journeyed with Paul to Rome, including what happened on the way. Shipwreck. And now he's there with Paul. Paul in house arrest. This is a guy where maybe somebody comes along at some point and say, hey, hanging out with this Paul is not so good for your life. Did a lot of risk with that. If you might want to give up, okay? But not Aristarchus. I think about Aristarchus and his faithfulness to the Lord and to Paul through all those trials, and I think about Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another. Are you devoted to one another? And not just in the good times. It's easy in the good times. How's your faith in the hard times? I've been reading War of the Worlds, interesting fiction book, of course. When it first came out, it was read on the radio and people thought aliens were actually attacking. They were freaking out. But there's a great passage in there where one of the characters meets someone in the church clergy, and the Martians are there, they're attacking, and this church clergyman is losing his mind. He's freaking out. And this other guy who doesn't even go to church looks at him and he says this. I want you to listen to this. He says, what good is your religion if it breaks down in the face of a trial? Whew. Aristarchus had a faith that stood firm in the trials. He was devoted to the Lord, devoted to Paul. Let's talk about Mark. We know a little bit more about Mark than some of these guys. Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. What do we know about Mark? Well, back in the book of Acts, when you're with us, Acts 13, he went on a missions trip with Paul and Barnabas. And he bailed on them partway through, right? And next time a mission trip came up, Barnabas wanted to take them. Paul said, nope, we can't take someone who's going to bail on us in the middle of the trip. So they went their separate ways. But you know what we learn from the later New Testament? He was eventually forgiven by Paul and restored to useful ministry in his eyes. How do we know that? When he later wrote 2 Timothy 4:11, he says, Mark is useful to me in ministry. This guy who had bailed is now useful. And most of you know he went on to write the second gospel, the Gospel of Mark. You know what one another I think about here? I think about someone who's bailed on you, let you down. Ephesians 4:32. Forgive one another. There's somebody in the body you need to forgive. You've been holding on to that bitterness, but think about the other side. Maybe you're the one that bailed. Maybe you're the one that hurt somebody else. Your story's not over. The Lord's mercies are new every morning. What does Proverbs 24:16 say? The righteous falls seven times and rises again. I like the way C.S. Lewis put it. He said, no amount of falls will really undo us if we keep on picking ourselves up each time. We shall, of course, be muddy and tattered children by the time we reach home, but the bathrooms are all ready, the towels are put out, and the clean clothes are in the airing cupboard. The only fatal thing is to lose one's temper and give up. It's when we notice the dirt that God is most present. It is the sign of His presence. Oh, thank God that in Jesus there's grace, cleansing, that we might stand again like Mark. How about this next guy? Jesus, justice. Verse 11, and Jesus, who is also called Justice. Now, a lot of guys had two names. I'm guessing in the early church, they probably only used the name Justice, because every time they'd say, you know, Jesus, and then, oh, yeah, yeah, died. No, not that Jesus. Jesus, Justice. Jesus, Justice. This is his only mention. He's mentioned as one of the comforters of Paul. The only thing we know about him. I think about that, and maybe you look at what the work the Lord has given you, and it's one thing. And maybe you've fallen into the trap of comparing. I look at that person, and they're doing 30, 40 things. I got one. Listen, his name was written down there. Why? Because he was faithful in the thing God had given him. He was there comforting the Apostle Paul, and we're reading it 2,000 years later. Paul closes this section about these three guys. He says, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God. What's he saying with them right there? These are the only Jewish believers with me. And they have been a comfort to me. I think about those three guys there, all the things they could have been doing in the world. They're there with Paul, comforting him in his house arrest. What's Philippians 2:4 say? Look to the interests of one another. Does that describe you? Or do our own schedules and our own interests just crowd that out? Look to the interests of one another and comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Do you know somebody going through some stuff? Would you say, yes, Lord, I want to be available to comfort them? Use me. Next, I want to talk about an earnest intercessor, someone who interceded in prayer for the Colossians. His name's Epaphras. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, another Colossian, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Listen to this, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. That word struggling can be translated wrestling. It's from a Greek word called agonizomai. What word do you hear in there? Agony. Have you ever prayed like that? Have you ever wrestled in prayer for someone? Good physical picture of that. You think about Jacob wrestling with God in the Old Testament. He wasn't going to let go, right? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Do we offer up wrestling prayers, or are prayers more casual? Epaphras was always struggling on behalf of that church in his prayers. For what? That you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. What a great prayer request for the church. Because today, just like in Colossae, there's a lot of false teaching out there seeking to undermine the truth of the Bible. What if we prayed for one another that we might stand mature and fully assured in the truth of God's word? For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you. That word work there has the idea of pain. It's used in Revelation during the tribulation of the pain of some people who were scorched by the sun and are then there in darkness. He was wrestling so intensely that it pained him. He loved these. Do you love anybody like that? As you lift him up in prayer. He's worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. These are two churches close by Colossae. Now, what else do we know about him? He likely heard the gospel from Paul in Ephesus. Acts 19 said Paul was there teaching for a couple years, and the gospel spread out to Asia. Epaphras probably went to Ephesus 100 miles away, heard it, took it back 100 miles to Colossae in that area. Then he cared for the new church there. You can see that in Colossians. And here, he brought an update to Paul in Rome about the church in Colossae. And Paul writes down, hey, he's still wrestling for you in prayer. What one another's are we looking at there? James 5:16, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Do you pray for others in the church? Do our prayers ever go beyond, Lord, thanks for this food? Lord, help us sleep well. Are you praying for other believers? How about bear one another's burdens? Galatians 6:2. One of the best ways we can bear another's burdens, like these people do at the end of every service, I'll pray with you. I will pray with you. You can come in early on Sundays if you want to pray with some other people over in the B building. At times in your highlights. William Cowper wrote a lot about spiritual battle. You know what he said? Satan trembles when he sees the weakest believer on his knees. But how often are we so quick to rush into the work, but we forget, where's the power come from? Now I want to talk to you about a beloved doctor. Beloved doctor, Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you. Now what do we know about Luke? He's the only Gentile Bible author. How do we know he's a Gentile? Because Paul had just told us about these other three. These are the only Jews with me. But Luke's with them too. Only Gentile Bible author, wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts. He traveled with Paul. Remember all the we passages in the book of Acts? We. We also know from 2 Timothy 4, in a later imprisonment of Paul, as he awaited his execution, he was the last one to stick with Paul. Everyone else had left. How do we know that? Because 2 Timothy 4:10 says, only Luke is with me. I think about Luke and I think about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:25, care for one another. He cared for Paul. I'm sure he used some of his medical gifts on his behalf. I'm sure he cared for him in other ways. Do we care for one another? Do you even care when someone's hurting at all? He's a contrast with someone that I'll call a worldly deserter. Worldly deserter. I want to look at a man named Demas. Paul had said, Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. He's there with Luke at this time of house arrest. What do we know about Demas? Well, in the letter to Philemon, he's called by Paul a fellow worker. So he'd done some work with Paul. But you know what we read in 2 Timothy 4:10 during that second imprisonment of Paul? You know what Paul says about Demas? This, he deserted Paul because he was, quote, in love with this present world. He was in love with this present world and he bailed. You think about Jesus' parable about the plant choked out by the concerns of this world. That got Demas. And one scholar looked and said, every time he's listed with Luke. And he made this interesting proposal. We don't know for sure, but maybe he was riding on Luke's faith. Luke was a man of faith. He hung in there. But guess what? We can't ride on somebody else's faith. We got to have our own relationship, connection with the Lord. We don't know how Demas ended up. Did he come back like Mark? I'm not sure. But I come back again to be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. Will we be Luke's with the other believers in our lives? Will we be Luke's with the Lord, or are we going to be more like Demas? Now I want to talk about some nearby neighbors of the Colossian church, Nympha and the Laodiceans, maybe around 10 miles away. Check this out. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Nympha opened up her house for the church. And you see a lot of people in the New Testament that did this. They didn't have church buildings. Mary, Gaius, Lydia, Philemon's family, Priscilla and Aquila, they all opened their house for the church. Guess what? The church is the people. And the church can worship anywhere. You can worship in a planned and designed and built building. You can worship in a school. You can worship in a living room. You could worship like many of our brothers and sisters around the world, hiding from the authorities in a hut. But she opened up her house for the church. And what do we know about this church in Laodicea? Later in Revelation chapter 3, they received a stern rebuke from Jesus Christ for what? Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. But you notice how he says, in my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea, he's telling the Colossian church, hey, greet them. And it's a reminder that whatever church we're a part of is not the only local body in the world. We have to realize we're connected to a bigger body and have that bigger picture in mind. How about the church across the street here? A lot of people think we're named the church next door because we're the church next door to Canyon. You love them when you see them in the parking lot? You give them a smile and a good morning? I hope so. How about our church friends out in Paulden? Paul and Daniel and the crew out there. Are we praying for them? What about the church you came from? You still pray for them? Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea. Greet one another, Romans 16:16. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. And of course, what she was doing with her home, show hospitality to one another, that love of strangers, open our homes. 1 Peter 4:9. Our last friend, I'm going to call him the race runner. Many times the New Testament compares the Christian life to a race, to a marathon. Archippus. Say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Now, who's this Archippus? If you go to Philemon 1 and 2, he's listed along with Philemon and Apphia, leading many to believe he's the son of those two. They hosted a church in their house as well. And perhaps he helped lead the Colossian church in Epaphras' absence. We don't know exactly the nature of his work, but what did Paul say to him? See that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. Let me ask you, what ministry have you received from the Lord? Because we all have one. We're all gifted. Have you ever got discouraged in that ministry? Feel like giving up? Maybe that was Archippus. Maybe all these false teachers that we've come across in Colossae were wearing on him, and he's thinking about throwing in the towel. But Paul says, see to it, watch out, that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. What if every believer took that as encouragement today? I know you're tired. I know you're weary. But keep on running. If the Lord's given it to you, he's going to provide all you need to carry it through. What one another's do we think of here? Exhort one another. Exhort one another. Hebrews 3:13. How about Hebrews 10:24? Stir up one another to love and good works. You see a believer struggling in their ministry. Come alongside them. Pray. Stir them up. We look at this list of friends. I want us to spend a moment before we close just looking at a couple questions. Couple questions. I want you to take these before the Lord, especially if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Am I a team player? What kind of friend am I is another way to put that. Let the Lord search your heart on that. You think about those different friends. Who of those friends are you the most like? Which one do you relate to the most? That might reflect your gifting, your passion. And then who can I encourage or greet or thank today in the church? And not me, please. I get plenty of cards and encouragement. I want you to think of others in the church. I want you to seek the Lord and say, Lord, who would you have me encourage? And then spend a few moments praying for the team. Not just church next door, but the team around the world. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. Aaron's going to come up. This is your time between you and the Lord. If you know the book of Colossians, you know there's one more verse. I call this slide grace, grace, grace. He finishes where he started the letter. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. What is grace? It's unmerited favor from the Lord. Favor that we don't deserve. I think about grace, I think about friendship, and I think about what our Savior said in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than someone that lay down his life for his friends. About the grace of God and Jesus Christ at that cross. And I think the grace strikes us all the more when we remember who this Christ is. The supreme preeminent Christ we've been looking at in Colossians. Close your eyes and remember what Paul wrote about Jesus in Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. What a friend we have in Jesus. I think about his sacrifice, his faithfulness, and I think about one of my favorite World War I accounts. True story. There were two soldiers who were the best of friends, and one of them had been mortally wounded. The other one was with his commanding officer, and they were getting ready to leave, and he said, I can't leave him. And the commanding officer said, don't, he's mortally wounded. It's not worth it. His friend went back anyway. He got his friend and brought him back. His friend died in his arms. The commanding officer said, I told you it was a waste. I told you it wasn't worth it. And before he died, the rescuing soldier said, oh, it was worth it. When I found him, he said, James, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. That's a faithful friend. Think about Jesus stepping out of heaven to go to that cross. And I think about Proverbs 18:24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Father, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ, the grace available to all who turn to him in faith. What a friend we have in Jesus, closer than a brother. And for those of us who are believers, Lord, may we look at these one another's, and may your Spirit stir us up. Maybe we've been complacent about those. Maybe we've forgotten about the others. Maybe church has become all about me. God, lift our eyes to Jesus, the head of the body, and the wonderful body of which every believer is a part. Stir us up in these one another's. Help us to be that faithful friend, that team player, to use our gifts for your glory and the good of those you've placed us with. In Jesus' name, amen.